Well, I have nothing to do with those bumper music. My name is Jesse Romero.
I love it, Jess.
Yeah, somebody's trying to mess with the Crusader music that I've chosen, and I have no idea what's going on.
What's happening is we cannot get on Apple's formats because of that. We need, and we'll talk after the show about how we can get that fixed, but we need to have, well, we'll talk about it after the show, Jess. So, yeah, I don't like it as much as, obviously, but we can't control. We gotta get that straight. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess, we've got a good show. Before we get to the gospel and the soul food, I just want to remind everybody, Jess Romero will be here in Southern California on Wednesday for a talk on spiritual warfare using St. Michael the Archangel and all the archangels. That's going to be a mass at 6 p.m. with the Anglican Ordinariate. We've got a full choir coming. It's going to be a beautiful high mass, and I think people will enjoy that and the talk. So you're welcome to come to the Sacred Heart Chapel. Come early. We're praying spiritual warfare prayers, I think, at 5 o'clock, and it'll be a great day. Also, today's topics, you know, these are questions we're asking right here. I mean, because we think about, we had just our elections in California two weeks ago, and there's more elections. Is there rigging going on in the elections? Let's just ask the question. It's an interesting article. Also, 15 top scientists eviscerate Dr. Fauci and others regarding the Lancet Medical Journal. It's about time he gets called out. Also, the jab that broke the camel's back. Thousands protest in Tel Aviv, Israel, not only in Israel, but in Australia. They're all protesting because they're saying, well, when's it going to stop? And they're starting to find out that the facts about COVID-19, and they feel like, I'm sure, that they've been duped like a lot of people. And then, Jesse, the last topic is interesting. The Pope is accusing media critics of doing the devil's work. These are the same media people that are bringing souls to Christ. And my line is, people don't come to Christ through the devil's work. It doesn't work that way. So I just want to, gently and say, maybe Holy Father, you know, you talked earlier about therapy that you had in your life. When you say things like this, it doesn't make any sense. We're all scratching our head going, where'd that come from? So with all good respect, I would suggest that Pope Francis go back to getting some therapy, because that kind of reaction was showing me that his level of having his both feet on the ground were not there. I mean, with all due respect, people don't accuse wonderful apostolates that are bringing souls to Christ that they're doing the devil's work unless there's something wrong in that person's life. That's my take. Okay, I said it. Jesse, yep. Let's get some gospel food. Well, you can comment, but that's my take, Jess.
The month of September is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows, and let's remember that Mary's suffering and her broken heart. I can't even imagine what she went through as she watched her innocent son ridiculed and mocked and put unjustly to death. So Mary will forevermore remain, she's going to remain our model, our role model of redemptive suffering, to unite our sufferings to Christ and his cross.
Yep.
And Mary also gave birth to the church when? By standing there at the foot of the cross and basically giving her son to God the Father, accepting the Father's will, and blood and water gushed forth from the side of Christ's side, the church was born at that moment. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. I also, Terry, want to just
bring it.
Say a little prayer for this Marine who's basically has been taken to jail, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. He's been taken to jail because he criticized the senior military leadership, including the president, for how they handled the U.S. troop withdrawal.
Well, he's vindicated today. Go ahead.
Okay, then I haven't read that.
No, he's vindicated because, Jesse, the three generals that testified in Washington said that, hey, I told President Biden, don't take the troops out. And so basically, I'll be able to say it like it is. He wasn't telling the truth. No, he was lying. But Biden lied when he said the generals told him to take the troops out. Three of them, they all testified. So that justifies what that, in my opinion, that particular Marine
Lieutenant Colonel
was in the right, and it's going to come out that they should not put him in jail. I mean, basically, Jesse, Biden did exactly what he wanted to do, and he didn't take the advice of the generals, and then he tells everybody in the public that, hey, my generals told me to do this. That's a lie.
He lied. And so this lieutenant colonel called him out. They threw the handcuffs on him. They hauled him off to the brig. But like Terry says, I think this argument that's recorded is going to vindicate him. So we'll just say a little Hail Mary for him. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I say that because I don't know if he's Catholic or not. It doesn't matter. The fact is that's one brave man to speak out against the corruption of the current commander-in-chief. Today's gospel, according to Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 56. It says, when the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, and what it means taken up, Jerusalem was on a higher plane. So when he walked from Nazareth up to Jerusalem, he was walking up. He resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem means city of peace. And it's a city of peace because one day the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, will come back in that city and judge the entire world from Jerusalem. Right now, there has been no peace ever since the resurrection. And it says, and even before that, and he sent his messengers ahead of him. These are the apostles. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village. These are the enemies of the Jews because they're Jewish half-breeds, so they don't like each other. Entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. So again, the Samaritans, who loathed the Jews as well, didn't accept Christ there. Look at the apostles get mad. It says here, when the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? Kind of like Elijah did. Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, here's where they erred. They want God to bring down justice first, but what precedes justice according to the Bible, according to St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, is mercy. In fact, it's even in the book of James. The book of James says that mercy precedes justice. So it's a biblical concept, and Jesus is saying, no. Hey, we're not going to bring justice yet. They deserve mercy first. They have to hear the message first. And once they reject mercy, then fire will come down at their particular judgment, but not before that. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. Hey, brother, I got a quote from Fulton Sheen that Jesse's going to put in his next book. Are you ready? Let's bring Bishop Sheen into the smartest guy into the room. Full Sheen. On politics, Jess, you ever write on that? Just a bit?
Just two books.
Yeah, that's exact. Yeah. Jess, check this out. Maybe you haven't heard this one, but I just found it. He said, the conflict of the future will be between a God religion and a state religion, between Christ and the Antichrist, but in a political disguise. Woohoo! Is he on to something, Jess?
Oh, that's talking about right now.
Exactly, brother. And
you're going to have to tell me where that quote's at.
I'll tell you why.
That's exactly what I've been saying. And people probably think this guy's crazy. I've been saying that everything that's happening right now, there's nobody this smart on the side of this culture of death. There's nobody this smart that can keep us, the patriots, people of faith, conservatives, basically, they're one step ahead of us, like on a chessboard.
Yeah.
And I've been telling Anita and others, I'm saying, Anita, this is the work of the Antichrist.
Absolutely.
Because the Antichrist has direct access to Satan. Well, direct. Yeah. Now, Satan's a fallen angel. He's a million times smarter than anybody on planet Earth. And so to me, everything that's happening right now, there's a mind that has access to Satan that is basically calling the shots and telling the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bilderbergs, the Ford Company, the Soros, the Gates, all of these people, Hollywood, all of them are just minions of this person that I believe is called, that I believe is the Antichrist, who has direct access to Satan. Because notice, as we do something, it seems like they're one step ahead of us. Terry?
Jesse, you've demonstrated over the years, many of the people you just mentioned have deviled into the occult.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Come on, Clinton has. All these Hollywood, they want power. Where do they go to get their power?
Satan.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so I think this
the
quote,
father of
I'm going to repeat it one more time for those who didn't hear it. The conflict of the future will be between a God religion and a state religion. We have that. between Christ and the Antichrist. We have that, but in a political disguise. Oh, my gosh. Jess, when I read that this morning, I called you, what, four or five
times?
This
is exactly what's happening right now.
I know.
And there's an old Tan book that I got written about 80 years ago on the Antichrist. I was rereading it yesterday. It says that the Antichrist will wrap himself with communism as the political system to use to advance his cause in the world.
Well, that's
There's all these connections, Terry. There's all these connections being made, and I'm telling you, this is why I believe right now as Catholics, this is a time to resist and pray and fast and be holy like never before.
Amen. And don't forget, we have that quote that Fulton Sheen said. Let me see if I can get it in. He said that Satan will set up a counter church, will be the ape of the church. It will have all the notes and characteristics of a church, but in reverse and emptied of its divine content. The false prophet will have a religion without a cross. Oh, really? That sounds like us. A religion without a world to come. A religion, a world that says, let's go ahead and save the...
Recycle.
Recycle, green.
Take plastic out of the ocean.
Yep. All of these statistics say the same. All these readings from Sheen are spot on. When we come back, we'll have more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Hey, if someone wants that quote from Sheen, let me know. We'll send it. We'll put that out. Because that's a powerful quote.
Yes.
Stay with us, folks.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back to Terry and Jesse Show. Terry, in our lifetime, this guy wrote an article on it. It's called Politics and the Rigging of Elections.
Yeah.
In our lifetime, we have seen, we've seen one stolen election in Washington. And we've also seen... Terry, there's a lot of, and even Archbishop Carlo Mira Vigano, there's a lot of this suspicion over why Pope Benedict left his office and resigned, and all of a sudden, Pope Francis, Mario Bergoglio is in. This is because I'm telling you, Terry, their theology. What their teachings, the way they govern the church, I mean, it couldn't be more diametrically opposed.
Opposite, yeah, they're opposites.
Yes, it's got my head spinning.
Me too. But we've been talking for years about this, Jesse.
And I'll tell you, there's two things that I could tell you factually that unelected Joe Biden and Pope Francis. One of the things they have in common is both of them were very tight with Ted McCarrick, both of them.
Former Cardinal McCarrick,
And again, McCarrick was highly influential. McCarrick is also very good friends with communist China. In fact, he's the one that parlayed the deals between the Vatican and China. I think he went eight different times, sent by Pope Francis.
Yep.
And again, also President, unelected Joe Biden is also good friends with China.
Oh, he's made a lot of money with them.
And so here's how where I'm unsettled, Terry, as a lay Catholic, just trying to work out my salvation
out.
And fear and, and trembling. I see the unelected president of this country right now, who's an apostate Catholic. I see my Pope. Both of them are very good friends with McCarrick, who, again, there's evidence, Terry, that he was formed as a communist in Europe very early on before he went to seminary.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, this guy was also what motivated McCarrick, Tony, was not religion or faith. It was money, Terry. The man was a money machine.
He used to carry $5,000-$10,000 all the time in his pocket, putting money in people's pockets at the Vatican, telling them, hey, don't look this way. Hey, make sure this happens. He was a cash man.
So that's what has me unsettled, Terry. And also, one of the things that also has me unsettled is that some of the company that Pope Francis, our Holy Father, keeps over in Rome. I mean, Terry, you've had people, again, a lot of Hollywood actors that are very secular humanists. Some of them are Masons.
Yes.
Schwab, Gates, some of the people that they employ.
Yeah.
They've been seen at the Vatican, and again, that just unsettles me, Terry.
It should.
Because what I see, the entire world, our country and our church right now, is being inundated with this Marxist philosophy. And so the article says something about, can elections be rigged? Absolutely. He says this. Elections have been rigged for centuries. Even in the first democracy, they attacked Pericles and banished him. During the elections in the Rome of the Senate of 53 BC, only the elite voted. Interest rates doubled because people were borrowing so much to fund bribes to rig the election. If you want to see another example of stolen elections consistently, Saddam Hussein. He never lost. He won all the time.
Amazing.
And even in our country, Terry, we have what's called the redrawing voting lines.
Yeah.
And these things are done to rig the elections, Terry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gerrymandering is a practice intended to establish an unfair advantage for a particular party or person by manipulating the boundaries of electoral districts.
Yep.
And the corruption was named after Elbridge Gerry, who was engaging in this corruption from the very start of the United States election process. As they say, where there's a will, there's also a way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And those who deny that the election of the 2020 was rigged and call it a Trump conspiracy, in my opinion, Terry, that's the low-hanging fruit American.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are corrupt antics in every election.
Yep.
And the question has always been whether it was enough to change the outcome or not. Because to pretend that all elections are fair is simply the words of a complete fool. In fact, Terry, even Ted McCarrick admits, he's on YouTube admitting that he was paying people, cardinals from third world countries, as he would meet them, he would say, hey, remember, Bergoglio, during the conclave, Bergoglio. So again, just like this article says, all elections, there's always somebody trying to do something corrupt. The question is, do they do enough to change the outcome?
Yeah.
I know in this country, I think the left did enough to change the outcome with these Dominion machines and with having a real strong ground game and having 4 out of 5 people working the polling booth for Democrats.
Jesse, just to verify what you just said about McCarrick, Archbishop Vigano, in his testimonies, demonstrated a time where he met and he got some cash given to him from McCarrick, and he gave the cash back to McCarrick and said, no, thank you. What are you talking about? He was wondering. He said, oh, it's a Christmas gift. No, it's not a Christmas gift. You want something, and I'm not willing to give it. So what you said is very factual, because other archbishops have said the same thing. And, you know, this has always gone on because of our fall in our human nature.
Yeah.
We're going to sin. We have, whether it's President Biden sinning and saying that, hey, I told the generals to, the generals told me to keep the troops in Afghanistan. No, that's true. That's unfalse. That's not true. Even our clergy at the highest levels, they have original sin. So don't be surprised, man, when we see these things going on, even in our church. That's my point, Jess.
Terry, just want to move on just to another topic. Somebody sent me an email, and he gave me some good reasons. He says why, as Catholics, should really think twice about vaccinating your children right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's an email from a high-information Catholic, sure. And he says this. I'm not telling you what to do with your children.
Right.
I'm just telling you to be very cautious. And here's the 10 points that he makes. He says, number one, you as a parent have full authority over your children.
Right.
This is an unchanged and unchangeable truth of natural order. And fortunately, something still true legally in this country. The state has no authority. The school has no authority. The regulatory bodies have no authority. No person or institution has one iota of authority over your children. 2, currently available shots are not vaccines. They're definitely gene therapies.
That's right.
In how they work and what they do in the body. They're only termed vaccines under the recently revised March 2021 definition of a vaccine by the CDC. While I appreciate the advance in sciences, I object to the redefining of terms to soften the truth of the pharmacology and pharmacodynamics of a drug class 3. We do not know. Now, this is a parent with little kids. He's writing to other. We do not know if these shots are effective or safe in the long term.
Nope.
Anyone who says they are safe is speaking out of term. Anyone who says they are unsafe is also speaking out of term. We simply do not know.
That's a fact.
Wrote. Yeah. 4, the effects of these shots are not localized and are not transient. They spread throughout the body. This is true for all the currently available products, And I take great offense over the Johnson & Johnson viral vector product. Currently available drug therapies that use the same technology show evidence of their genetic material throughout the body, even when administered to a specific location. 5, the risk of the virus to your children are negligible. You can pull your own resources and validate this. Even the narrative itself has pointed out the fact that children are relatively unaffected. 6, there's no imminent threat in which we need to throw logic and critical thinking out the window and blindly follow the masses. 7, the Johnson & Johnson product and AstraZeneca, which is not available here, are not normal, typical, or old-school vaccines. I've been shocked at the number of people who have told me that their healthcare professionals have given them this insight to the specific Johnson & Johnson shot. I am not sure where this narrative is coming from. It's not true. 8, the shots have a very clear correlation to severe adverse events. I'm not talking about the conspiracy theory lines of government control or microchips. I'm talking about the actual adverse event profile, such as neuromuscular disorders, cardiac disease, vascular or thrombotic events,
wow,
and immune dysfunction. These are being downplayed by the media as rare and not a big deal. However, they're real and, in my opinion, are quite severe. Most drugs would be recalled over these types of events. When you consider this point, this is the basis for my recommendation as a Catholic parent. 9, the benefit of these shots is questionable. This can be evidenced by facts presented even on the CDC's website, where the vaccinated carry the same viral loads and are equally as contagious as the unvaccinated. Said more bluntly, the vaccines do not prevent the virus. 10, there's a good chance your child has been exposed to and has natural immunity to the virus. Natural infection confers natural immunity.
Amen.
Get the antibody test if you're unsure. There are also T-cell immunity tests available. While the shots expose the immune system to one solitary protein, the native virus exposes the immune system to other viral proteins for recognition and targeting. He says, I'm not telling you what to say to do with your kids.
Yeah.
I'm just recommending that we all wait and see.
It makes sense. To me, that guy's got a PhD in common sense. Hey, Jesse, before we break, I want to mention we have to need to know file. You remember Pastor Art Pawlowski from Poland? You and I interviewed him.
Yeah.
Well, he was arrested last night, so I'd like you to keep him in prayer again. He's a rock star for me because he's standing up for rights. Also, today's right into the sheriff's department. Sheriffs say they won't enforce Biden's unconstitutional COVID vaccine mandates. Sheriff Bo Stallman said, today we have a domestic enemy. The sheriff's telling you this. Potential and tyrannical, overreaching government that threatens to violate the Constitution and rights of our citizens. So there's many sheriffs across the country in this article that we have basically saying that I'm not going to enforce a public to get vaccinated. He said, I won't do it. And I thought, Jesse, because of your background as a 20-year-plus sheriff and all of our other guys that are sheriffs, can you imagine your boss coming and saying, hey, disregard it? I bet you guys would be ecstatic, would you not?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm telling you, the sheriff in L.A. right now, he's on the right side of the issue on this issue, Sheriff Villanueva. So I got to tip my hat off to him. I worked with him. I know him.
Wow.
We were young rookie cops together. He's definitely shown some courage and fortitude in this issue. Terry, there's also, I'm also reading another article, hundreds and hundreds of Navy SEALs who have not been vaccinated. They are, they're not deployable and they're being threatened to be dismissed.
This is threatening the security of our country, Jesse.
Absolutely.
Think about this, not just the Navy SEALs, but all of our military. I mean, if I was on the other side of America and I hated America, I'd come up with this brain idea of saying, let's get everybody vaccinated. Does that make sense?
Terry, and here's the perfect plan. Think about this.
Tell me.
The military that's going to get vaccinated are the ones that are more to the left and progressive young men and women. The ones that are more conservative, patriotic, and faithful, they're going to resist the jab because, again, we don't know what they're going to stick in our body. We have no idea what's in there yet. And what's going to happen, that means that the only thing that'll be left in the military is leftist progressives. They can use them to start arresting and attacking civilians.
Awesome. When we come back, I just got a note. We got two seminarians outside our studio watching us right now, Jesse. From L.A. I love it. Love it. Hey, we'll be right back with more to inspire you to stand up for Jesus. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse, is this microphone on? Somebody asked me a question that's joking. They said, did Jesse really say that our Navy SEALs aren't wanting to get vaccinated and they might be leaving the service? Can you repeat that, Jess?
Yeah, it's all over the internet. Just type it in. Okay. It says hundreds of Navy SEALs are refusing to get the vax, and they're at this point they're not deployable.
Wow!
But they're thinking of dismissing them.
Oh, God, that would be a devastating blow to our country.
And that's just one of all the branches of military right now are under that threat. Because remember, who's their direct boss?
President, of course.
Unelected Joe Biden. He's their direct boss.
Yeah.
He's the commander-in-chief. That's one of the titles of the president.
That's right.
And again, Terry, in times past,
communists,
Nazis have used the military against civilians. We're saying, we're America. We got a constitution. That wouldn't happen to us. Think about this.
Tell me.
All the people of faith
are
fired. Young people of faith, patriots, and conservatives.
Yeah.
So the only thing we have left in the military are all the people that are getting the jabs and progressives and secular, and you know, they're all in for Biden. They're all in for this whole reset. Well, all of a sudden, Biden just gives an order. I want you to arrest all people that haven't got the vax.
Makes sense.
That got the vax. Guess what? Governments have turned the military against civilians.
Without firing a shot.
Do not think it can't happen here.
Gosh.
That's called democide. So this is the perfect way to eradicate all people of faith in the military and patriots. Because the patriots and the conservatives and people of faith in the military, for example, if Biden gave an unjust law like that, like go ahead and start rounding up people that haven't been vaxxed, most of the military, they'd push back against the other guy, say, no, you're not going to do that. Not on my watch. But if you get rid of all the good guys that are on the right side of the issues, all you got, Terry, is are lefty progressive millennials that are in the military.
And they follow orders.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jess, thanks for pointing that out. The last thing I will say about that is what a great way, in a sense, of our adversaries to undermine our strength of our country. We have to acknowledge that this is really undermining America, this whole COVID-19. And we have to wake up and stand up and say, not on my watch. All right, let's move on, Jess.
Yeah, Terry, we have at least Dr. Richard Ebright and at least 15 other of the top scientists have eviscerated Dr. Fauci and Daszak in the Lancet Medical Journal. This is the world's leading medical journal, the Lancet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lancet has now published an article explicitly condemning the letter organized by Fauci, Peter Daszak of the EcoHealth Alliance, and Jeremy Farrar of the Wellcome Trust and others. So on February 1st, 2020, when confronted with first evidence that the COVID pandemic may have originated in the Wuhan lab that he funded, that Fauci funded via Dasnak's EcoHealth Alliance, well, Fauci organized a conference call apparently to discuss how to suppress this dangerous information since this trail led straight to them. So he called all the doctors and says, hey, let's just spike this story here, okay? And again, Fauci, Terry, sitting on millions of, I think, millions and millions of dollars to do whatever he wants.
Well, follow the money.
Yeah, for the CDC.
He's also making money from the vaccine. So this dude's coming big time.
Right, because he's an investor.
Exactly.
In the vaccines.
What an uninterested position to be in.
He has no dog in the fight.
Are
right, Terry?
Kidding me? Give me a break.
On February 19th, about 3 weeks after, Daszak, Farrar, and others published a letter in The Lancet saying that it's because, again, they had this meeting with Fauci, and he says, hey, you guys got to spike this story that it came from Wuhan, that it came from the Wuhan lab, and that I funded it. Please, we got to stand together. You got to spike this story.
I'll make it really sweet for you to do that.
He pulled the McCarrick.
Exactly.
And he put a nice little donation into their bank account. And so these guys from the EcoHealth Alliance, Daszak and Farrar, they published a letter. They put it they send it out to the mainstream media, and it says, we stand together to strongly condemn conspiracy theories, you know, against Fauci, suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin. Again, going back to the whole stupid bat story.
Yeah.
But there's a new article. Now we have 14 or 15 other authors and doctors,
yep,
who are saying that they're basically skewering Fauci's apologists.
Yeah, they're tired of it.
Yeah, they're saying that it's unscientific and fake news, what they originally said, that Fauci had nothing to do with it, that it came from bats, that he, you know, he had nothing to do with funding this. And now they're claiming overwhelming support, these 15 doctors that wrote a new article in The Lancet, that there's overwhelming support for the hypothesis that the coronavirus causing the COVID-19 pandemic originated in wildlife.
Yeah, but check this out, Jesse. 80,000 samples were collected from the Chinese wildlife sites and animal farms, and guess what? All proved negative. Come on.
Right. So they're saying, they're saying it's fake news. Those 15 doctors are saying it's fake news. That's what they're saying.
You got it.
Yeah. So, and contrary to the fake scientists' claim that we're backing up Fauci.
Yeah.
Terry, these doctors are now saying no. This
Thank
is
you.
Not true what they said Bad. Originally. And again, Fauci, Dasnik, Farrar, these guys were putting out false disinformation and misinformation. Why? Because they want to keep their positions of power, because the fact is that, but the truth has now come out, and this scientific truth where 15 doctors are saying what you guys are saying is not true, okay? This political agenda is over. Here's what they said, these 15 doctors. As scientists, we need to evaluate all hypotheses on a rational basis and to weigh their likelihood based on facts and evidence, devoid of speculation concerning possible political impacts.
You think?
Yeah, like losing your job.
Exactly.
Contrary to the first letter published in The Lancet, which, my comment, fake news.
Exactly.
Here they write, we do not think that scientists should promote unity. In other words, covering up for Fauci. That's what he's saying. We should not promote unity. We support the call from the Director General of the WHO to promote scientific evidence and unity over misinformation and conjecture.
Yep.
Yeah, Terry. Now,
no, it's nice to see these guys.
What's going to happen to Fauci? Who knows? Because, again, he's got the right guy in the White House.
Well,
so they may cover for him. But I'll tell you one thing, Terry. The book of Revelation chapter 22 says this. Liars shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I get it. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner.
Yep, repent.
But I recognize I'm a sinner, and I repent. In fact, I just went to confession last week.
Same here.
I know I'm a sinner, so I repent often.
Exactly.
And I repent every night. But these people, Terry, they're sinning with impunity.
Oh, yeah.
And their hearts are hardened in their lives.
Well, let's be honest. If the COVID vaccine thing went away, bye-bye, and no more vaccines, no more boosters, look at the money that they're going to lose from that. So they've got to keep the narrative going. Are you kidding me? They want these boosters to continue for the rest of people's lives so that they can control that and make lots of money. So that's just common sense. Look at follow the money line. And all these guys if they're making money on this, then they shouldn't even be in a position to make decisions based on science of what they're saying it is, because they have too much at stake in it, and they can't be neutral.
Terry, another bit of good news here. I'm looking at a website. The Israelis are finally pushing back.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of these Israelis have been fully vaxxed, have got the, and now they're mandating a third jab over in Israel. Now, Terry, now the people are pushing back. There's thousands and thousands of people marching through the streets of Tel Aviv for their liberation from these oppressive COVID mandates and these government health passes. And they're basically saying, you know, we've been cooperating, but we've been experimental guinea pigs, and now they want to give us another booster shot. So the Israelis, Terry, are pushing back. There's demonstrations all over right now.
Yeah, there is. I saw them.
And they're saying, we've already been experimented during World War II.
Yeah.
And they're saying, we're not going to go through this again. And remember, it was a Tel Aviv University that proved to us and showed us scientifically that vaccinated people are 13 times, have 13 times more the resilience now to fight against.
Against these people. And
exactly.
Let's be really direct. It's about time that forcing these booster shots proves that the vaccine provokes no immunity. It's no wonder hospitals in Israel were experiencing an 85 to 90% of new cases coming from, guess who? Vaccinated patients. So Israel citizens have been among the first to receive the rush vaccine ever since it was available. Now their government wants to use them as experimental guinea pigs for even more hasty development booster shots. Well, they're standing up and saying, enough's enough, not on my watch. Yeah. Thanks be to God. And Australia is right behind them, Jesse. They're standing
right.
up. Same thing.
Yeah, there's major uprising
all
in Australia. And Terry, that's good. I mean, because there's more
push
of us
back.
Than them.
More
there's
back.
More of us yeah. people, the call us peasants, whatever you want to call us,
yeah.
than
boy,
the aristocrats. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing here, Terry. And this is exactly what they want. They want. This is Marxism, classic Marxism.
It is.
And what the leftist Israeli media news outlets are saying that are covering the events with these Israeli citizens that are just fed up. All they're doing is demonizing them. They're saying, oh, they're right wing activists. All they are is right wing activists that are protesting against the Bennett government. And so, no, Terry, they're not right wing. They're not crazed right wingers at all. These are people, in fact, most of them have got the double jab. They're just saying, another one?
Yeah, give me a, but where's it end?
Yeah, and the same thing's happening in the U.S., Terry. I've heard some of these pro-vax people in the media, in the mainstream media, they're saying, well, yeah, you know what? We may have to have a fourth one in a few months. And then I read another article that says, probably at this point, every year, we're going to have to get a new vax.
Exactly. Folks, I want to mention...
Yeah, it's called a slow kill, Terry.
Exactly. Support the show by going to CatholicRC.org to get your downloads of wonderful Catholic presentations. We come back, we'll have more. Don't forget, Jesse Romero will be here in the Sacred Heart Chapel on Wednesday to give his presentation. We have Holy Mass at 6 p.m. We'd love to see you there. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back, the Terry and Jesse Show. Terry, it is very sad. The EWTN has brought in maybe millions of souls back to the Catholic Church.
I know many.
And Protestants,
personally.
Yeah. But the Holy Father, Pope Francis, took a swipe at EWTN.
Yeah.
He said that sometimes he loses patience with people who insult without knowing the facts. Now, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you who he's referring to. Okay, no, look, who is EWTN? For those that don't know, you should know. They're an American broadcasting company called Eternal Word Television Network. They're very faithful to the teachings of the Church. They're probably the largest Catholic media outlet in the world.
They are.
They have an international audience of more than 380 million television households in 115 countries and territories throughout the world. And Pope Francis, he basically said, that this large Catholic television channel has no hesitation in continually speaking ill of the Pope. Here's who he's referring to. I'll just break it down to you. The only one that's critical of the Holy Father's statements and the teachings that he gives, especially when he has his ghostwriters writing things, the only ones that are actually analyzing respectfully what he says and does is the world over
every Thursday night.
Thursday nights with Raymond Arroyo and the Papal Posse.
Yep.
The rest of the shows do not. In fact, the rest of the shows are just what I would call typical establishment Catholics. Many of them have not red pilled on the Pope, and that's fine. You know, and I don't know what's in their heart, but the fact is, the only show that's actually trying to analyze the things that are happening in the Roman Curia in the Vatican is Raymond Arroyo, and I take my hat off to him That's who he is criticizing, Terry. What do you have to say?
No, well, Raymond's a good friend of mine, and Father Murray's a good friend of mine, and I talk to them quite often, and I think that they're right on the spot on him, but they're doing it with respect. And I think that our church gives us that opportunity to our pastors to respectfully disagree on things if they're not teaching the perennial teachings of the church. Father Murray constantly says, it's most unfortunate that Pope Francis believes this.
Yeah, see, he prefaces it with that.
Yeah, he always says that. I mean, the bottom line is, our Holy Father, we are looking for the perennial teachings of the church. We're not looking for novelties. And when we say, I live this statement, he says here that, you know, these people are trying to live the church from the past. I look to the future with the past. In other words, that's what the Norbertine stained glass window is. That's a statement that I always stuck with me. If we forget our past, our future stinks because we don't know where we came from. So the fact that he's saying that, you know, hey, you guys think you're old-fashioned, kind of having old stuff from the church. Can I tell you, Jesse, my prayers as a child, the things that I learned about the Eucharist, I'm not throwing any of that out. My devotion to the Blessed Mother, my love for the Holy Father, I'm still, no. That's something that was ingrained in me, and I'll take it to my grave. So I just want to say, when I hear him say this, as I said at the beginning of the show, the devil doesn't work that way. He doesn't send people to Christ. So I think his comment there is really out of bounds. And that, you know, he mentioned, as I said earlier, Jess, that he thinks that, you know, he got some good therapy when he was a younger priest at one time that helped him with some issues in his life. He acknowledged that. I would say go back for therapy, because when people attack like that, individuals, there's something wrong inside of them. That's been my experience. And if I said something like that, I'd say I need some therapy. So Holy Father, with all due respect, we pray for you every Thursday here at our chapel. We're going to continue to pray. But when you say things that outlandish, then there's something wrong. And out of charity, I'm calling you, get back to get some therapy that would help you be more stable, because that's an unstable person saying those things.
Terry, and Pope Francis actually said, on May 22nd, 2018, he said, it's not a sin to criticize me.
That's right.
So he's actually, so people are going to say, we're going to get emails, what are you guys doing? I'm going to repeat again.
May
22nd, 2018, Pope Francis, at the opening and general assembly of the CEI, he says, it is not a sin to criticize me. Okay? So as the Catholics, I think Raymond Arroyo, Terry Barber, myself, we do this very respectfully.
Absolutely.
Understanding his office as Pope, but again, being very concerned for the man. Notice what we're saying. I am concerned for the man's soul, but I respect the office immensely. I've spent my life defending the office of the papacy.
Absolutely.
And I will continue to defend that office given to us by Christ. Now, I'll tell you, he says that I talk about, he goes, some people admonish me for not speaking more about topics such as holiness.
Yeah.
He says, and he kind of knows the criticism. He knows, he goes, they say I always talk about social issues and that I'm a communist. Yet I wrote an entire apostolic exhortation on holiness called Gaudete Ex Exultate. Well, I know this, Terry. One of his ghostwriters, one of the main ghostwriters that writes for him, is named Archbishop Victor Manuel Fernandez. He's one of Pope Francis's most trusted confidants. So he was the ghostwriter also of Amoris Laetitiae. Well, this author, Terry, this archbishop also wrote a book, Archbishop Victor Fernandez. The book that he wrote, this guy's the ghostwriter for the Pope. Mm-hmm. It's called, quote, Heal Me With Your Mouth, The Art of Kissing. Is this microphone on?
Yeah.
An archbishop of the Catholic Church, one of Pope Francis' most trusted confidants, wrote a book called Heal Me With Your Mouth, The Art of Kissing. Now I'm just asking the question. Why would an archbishop who's supposed to be chaste and celibate be writing about a topic that he should probably have no knowledge or experience of? This is very strange. Yet this, Terry, This is the ghostwriter of Amoris Laetitiae and some of the other documents that have come out from the Pope.
Yeah, Jesse, your point is well taken. Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. That's been one of my concerns about all these people coming to Rome to do work regarding birth control, regarding abortion, bringing people in, you know, the lady that
the
was...
The Green New Deal?
Yeah, the Green New Deal, but also the lady that was in the Italian parliament who was for abortion, and the Holy Father's complimenting her in her work. See, I just have a hard time saying, yeah, this is a good person when they are for killing unborn babies.
Yeah.
Holy Father, excuse me, we need to stand up more for our life. And when you say that, it's one side of your mouth, you're saying abortion is murder, and then you tell them, but they can receive Holy Communion? You see, this is what he's saying. And so for us as Catholics, we're concerned that our leader, our vigor of Christ, not the superior of Christ, he's the vigor of Christ, is saying things that are not consistent with the perennial teachings of the church. So my heart goes out to him and say, come on, be a father. I look at it as he was my spiritual father, that I would say, spiritual father, please don't tell me to do things that are contrary to the gospel. I mean, with all due respect, I cannot obey something from him that's not consistent with what Jesus Christ taught. And that's the church teachings. That's not my teachings or Jesse Romero's teachings.
By the way, let me back up what you said before we get hit with a ton of emails. you know who actually said you can disagree with the Pope? This was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger.
I remember.
Who wrote a letter to Theodore McCarrick, July 2004, to the U.S. bishops, and it was undersigned by Pope John Paul II.
Right.
In that letter, it was called Worthiness to Receive Holy Communion, General Principles. In that letter, Cardinal Ratzinger says, you can disagree with even a pope on issues that are prudential, on issues that are non-negotiable. You can disagree with the pope on war. You can disagree with
vaccines.
Exactly. Issues that don't have to do with the de fide doctrines of the church. Cardinal Ratzinger, undersigned by John Paul II, says, absolutely you can disagree with the Pope.
You're not that radical, Jesse and Terry G. You mean these guys say the same thing you're saying? Go ahead.
I'm just trying to back up.
I know, Jesse. That's the point. It sounds like we're being radical. Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah, we're not.
We're not. We're faithful.
We're doing what the church says, Terry.
Exactly,
and,
brother.
And we're actually saying, in Canon 212,
yeah.
We're asking questions of our pastors because some of these things sound confusing and we want clarity. And so Canon 212, paragraph 907 says, yes, you can confront your sacred pastors and ask them. Terry, my opinion, here's the last thing I want to say.
Hit it, buddy.
The Vatican's requiring a negative test or a vaccine passport. Yeah. You can't go to the Holy City, Terry, right now. Pope Francis says, and this is sad to me because this shows to me that they've lost their supernatural faith.
Yeah. Well, you can get to Mass, but you can't stay after Mass if you're unvaccinated. In 1957,
that's crazy. That's crazy.
The Holy Father said, let's make sure these medical people, we don't put medical priorities over spiritual priorities. I'll never forget that quote. That was in May of 1956. Jesse, talk about shepherds. We've got Bishop Joseph Strickland coming right after us today. And folks, here's a shepherd who understands his role as a shepherd for the church, and he doesn't compromise, none of it. And you know what I like about Strickland? Sorry, Jess, is that he's going after this whole thing on vaccines in a way that I haven't heard any other bishop say, I'm not willing to get an extra 10 years of life if that vaccine, if it does work, and I don't think it will, but when it comes from aborted babies, not on my watch. Now, for a bishop to say that, Jess, where's another bishop saying that? But he's part of Team Jesus. He's part of Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I'll tell you what, we're glad he's on our team having a bishop speak like that.
He's the only U.S. bishop that's speaking like St. Athanasius in the 4th century. Basically, at this point, you got Bishop Strickland contra mundum, Bishop Strickland against the world.
Well, anyhow, he's up next in about a minute, so stay with us, family. And don't forget, support the show. go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, become a monthly donor, or go to our big catholicrc.org website, get some downloads you can pick up on there. And again, I want to thank all of you for supporting us, because we are a radical. But you know what? The gospel's radical, Jess. It's repent and turn away from sin. That's radical in our world. Are you kidding me? What does our world say? If it feels good, do it.
Do it.
Jesse, what state should we be living in?
Wake up, America. Live in a state of grace. Don't hit the snooze button. Wake up, America. Don't live in a state of mortal sin.
Amen.
Make sure before you die, you leave it all out on the field. Get holy or die trying. Terry.
Hey, Jess. Well said, brother. That's why I love working with you, because you know what? Your focus is on the next world. Folks,
amen.
Thanks again for joining us here. And Bishop Strickland is up next on Virgin Most Powerful.